Church is a good place to bring your Bible. Amen. Matter of fact, you gotta look in your Bible to see if what I'm saying is so. Don't just take my word for it. Well, I'm excited for this first Sunday in 2014 and this new year that's before us. Oh, I want to testify. Carolyn Hall and her family is here. For our last release time of the year, three kids from the school gave their heart to Jesus. Amen? Praise God. We have the opportunity to have a release time where people, where kids, third, fourth, and fifth graders come from the public schools during school to hear, to VCF, to hear a Bible lesson. And we're seeing the seed take root, and I just want to give God praise for those young kids to give their hearts to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So keep praying for our release time. And we need the Forge School to open up more. Amen? But I believe that God's removing all the blocks, and things are shaking, and God is shifting some things. So, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And usually here at VCF, we try to follow a theme every month, but you know what? It's God gives us the theme and we follow it, but anytime that He wants to change it, it's up to Him. Amen? I want you to know, I don't preach what I like to preach. Amen? I spend a lot of time seeking God and listening to God, and I always say, God, what do you want to say to the people today? And He is always faithful. He knows what everybody needs better than I do anyway. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible says this: "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want you to pay close attention to the order in which he put these words. Notice he didn't say body, soul, and spirit first, did he? He said spirit, soul, and body. And God puts things first for a reason. Amen? Because if a person doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will put the body first, and the soul second, and maybe the spirit last. But to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who was Paul writing to? Paul was writing to a church in Thessalonica. He was writing to people who believed in Christ. And he said, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. See, when you're in Christ Jesus, the spiritual life becomes the most important life of your life. Now, your spirit, which is just a third of your life, but when you're in Christ Jesus, that third becomes the most important part of you. Amen? And God wants us to develop in the spirit. He wants us to live in the spirit. He wants us to walk in the spirit. And he wants us to produce spiritual fruit. So for this month, we're going to talk about the blessings of living a spiritual life. Amen. Say this with me. Say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. See, your body is simply your earth suit. Just like an astronaut, they have a space suit. You know, there were some astronauts that were working on the space station. And in order to do that, they had to wear a special suit which enabled them to be in that environment. And God made you a spirit, and he put you in a body, and he gave you a soul, but you are a spirit. And we're going to emphasize the importance of your spiritual life this month. And there are blessings that come from developing and living in your spiritual life. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image." Notice it didn't say, let man evolve. Say, I'm made. Say, God doesn't make junk. Say, God made me, and I'm not junk. So the Bible said, the Bible's telling us that let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Aren't you glad we have dominion over creeps? Amen, amen. Well, we know in John chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, but God says, I am a spirit, and they that worship me shall worship me in spirit and in truth. So if God is a spirit, and we're made in God's image and in God's likeness, then that means that you and I are spirits. Amen? And I want you to bring attention to your spiritual life. All right, go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I want you to look at verse 63. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickens. Now that word quickens, it means make alive. I tell you what, you were made alive by the Spirit. On the inside of you, your spirit exists because you were made alive because God is a spirit and he quickened you. He made you alive. He created you. He caused you to be. The flesh profits nothing. Let's all say that. Say the flesh profits nothing. Now, if the flesh profits nothing, why do people spend so much time investing in their flesh? Because they're not going to get a return because the Bible says it doesn't profit. So if you invest in your flesh, you're going to lose money. But he said this, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, get this. Since God is a spirit, and he created us in his image and in his likeness, that means we're spirits. That means we were created by his words. Before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, God had a picture of you by his bedside. And he spoke you into existence, just like he spoke the world into existence. Because the words that he speaks are spirit. And God is a spirit, and you and I are spirits, so we were created by God's word. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Now, under the Old Testament, the Spirit operated, but he would only come upon people to function in certain capacities or to do different things. Just like I'm wearing this coat. See, this coat is on the outside of me. All right, this morning, I looked in my closet and I said, that's a nice coat. I'm going to wear that coat. So I put that coat on. So this coat is on me. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit would come on people just like this coat is on me. And when the Spirit would come on people, they would be able to perform tasks and do things and hold positions. But now it's much different in the New Testament. The Spirit of God just doesn't come on you, but he actually takes up residence and lives on the inside of you. God made you a spirit, but he made you his dwelling place. He chose to make you his house, and he picks up residence. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God literally moves in to your spirit. Say, in me lives God's spirit. Now, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, God's spirit is not in you yet. So I want to take some time today, and I want to define what a spiritual person is and what a spiritual person does. I'm simply going to give out some characteristics of what the Bible says a spiritual person is and a spiritual person does. Amen? Now, if we were created by God's Word, then God's Word has to be the final authority of what takes place in our life. Amen? If we were created out of these words, and we are, because creation was created out of this world, out of His words, all right? So, we're going to take a, just, I'm going to give you a picture of what a spiritual person is and what a spiritual person does. Then we're going to go into a little bit deeper with this as we move along. Amen? Now, this is just a definition from the Unger's Bible Dictionary. And it's defining the word spirituality. And he says in here that spirituality is the disposition or the internal condition of men when in such a state as prepares them to recognize and properly appreciate spiritual realities. When you're a spiritual person, you tend to recognize spiritual things easier. Amen? You recognize when the Spirit is moving. You recognize spiritual words. You recognize spiritual activities easier when you're a spiritual person. Okay? And here's another definition from Nelson's Bible Dictionary. Didn't know you wrote a Bible Dictionary, Nelson. It means sensitivity or commitment to religious values and sacred matters. Are you sensitive? Do you have a commitment to sacred matters? Amen? When God is moving, when God is speaking, when God is leading, are you sensitive to those things? Those are qualities of a spiritual person, okay? And every one of us is spiritual. Now, some people, they're of the wrong spirit. Did Jesus encounter some people who were possessed by demons? They were spiritual people. They were just on the wrong side. They were on the dark side. But when they encountered the light, the Spirit of God, what happened? They often got set free. Amen? I mean, Jesus, all he had to do was walk into church. And if there was a demon there, the demons go, ah! I was just seeing if you're awake. But there is spiritual activity. Now, the spiritual activity is unseen, but it's there. How many believe in angels? How many ever saw an angel? I never saw an angel, but I believe that they're there. How many's ever seen God? You know, God is like scotch tape. You can't see him, but you know he's there. Right? So, it takes faith to tap into the spiritual side of things. Because faith is the commodity for the unseen. Okay? A person is spiritual, Nelson goes on to say, a person is spiritual because of the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts which he imparts to the believer. Aren't you glad that God gives us power? That he doesn't expect us to live victoriously on our own or on our own accord, but he gives us his strength and his power so that we can operate. And then another definition says that it signifies the state of a soul vitalized by the divine spirit and made alive unto God. So you become a spiritual person when you're made alive unto God. What if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior? Then you're dead. You're full of dead men's bones. Jesus told of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they were the religious leaders. They were the leaders of Judaism. They ran the synagogues. And Jesus called them whitewashed sepulchres. I can't even say that word. Sepulchres. That's King James. A sepulchre is a tomb. A whitewashed tomb is one that's been pressure washed, but there's full of dead men's bones on the inside. Clean on the outside, but stinky dead on the inside. And the only way to be made alive in the Spirit is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus is the only way to connect with God. You can't connect to God through good works. You can't connect to God simply by coming to church. You know, I mean, really, if I sat in a garage and if I made sounds like a car, rum, 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 you know, a car with a big engine and a big carburetor, one that goes fast, rum, 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 would I become a car? That would be crazy. Or how about if I went to the airport and I got on a runway and I went, do you think I'd become a plane? Well, if those things aren't true, then just coming to church doesn't mean you're a spiritual person. There's a lot of people that come to church that aren't spiritual. So, what is a spiritual person? Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now remember, today I'm just giving you a picture. You're going to go out today and you're going to know what a spiritual person does and what a spiritual person looks like. Amen? You know, some people think a spiritual person is when they come up to prayer and they just fall out. That doesn't necessarily make you spiritual. But, you know, when you encounter the power of God, something's going to happen. So people fall out because they encounter the power of God. The power of God is very real. And God wants to display his power in your life. He wants to touch you with his power. Can you imagine being touched with creative power? Power that just produces joy and peace and everything you need, want, and desire? Galatians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 16. What does a spiritual person do? And how does a spiritual person look like? This I say then, verse 16, Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And let me just stop right there. If someone is in the midst of fulfilling the lust of the flesh, are they in the Spirit? No. Because he said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do we have a choice as to which realm of life we walk in? Once you get born, see, before you were born again, you had no choice. You were held in bondage under sin. You had a sin nature, and all you could, I don't care if you were a good person, you were still separated from the life of God. You had no choice. You were dominated by the sin nature. But now, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a choice now. He broadens the spectrum. You could choose to be in the Spirit, or you could choose to be in the flesh. Amen? You have options now. You're not limited to just one, because when you come to Christ, you come out from under the dominion of sin. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if your lust is, if your flesh is dominating you, you're not in the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Now we know that, don't we? Our flesh doesn't want, you've got to drag your flesh. You know what? Some people have a drug problem. They get drugged to church on Sunday. They get drugged to church on Wednesday. They get drugged to special meetings. They got a drug problem, amen? But how many know you don't always feel like praising God? And you've got to literally make your body to raise your hands. Sometimes you don't feel like getting out of bed. But you've got to literally make your body get up. Isn't it amazing that you can make your body do things? You can train your body. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. See, these two natures, these two areas of living, they contradict each other. But the stronger one will dictate the action taken. If you're a spiritual person, your spirit will override your flesh, and your flesh will have to do what the spirit says. But if you're a fleshly person, your flesh will override your spirit, and your flesh will then do fleshly things. This is a fact. Okay? But if you be led by the Spirit, why did it say if? You've got to choose. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. God wants to lead you. But how many know if I have a dog on a leash and I tell that dog, come, that dog can sit there and just look at me. Like, what are you talking about, Doug? I can say, come on, come. And that dog's just going to sit there. Because that dog's not trained. That dog's going to rise up. All right? But through some training, you can be led. The dog can then be led. Amen? You know, sometimes I wonder, are you taking the dog for a walk or is he taking you for a walk? If you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Amen to that, because not one person can fulfill the law. But now the works of the flesh, he's about to tell us what a fleshly person does, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and really homosexuality falls under uncleanness. Lasciviousness, that's just simply loose living. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Uh-oh. If you hate someone, that means you're not in the spirit, you're operating in the flesh. I did not say this. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Am I quoting the Bible? Is the Bible telling us what the works of the flesh are? So a spiritual person doesn't do these things. Hatred, variance, which is discord, emulations, which is jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. See, he didn't even complete the list, but he said, and such the like. If there's anything, any activity that's like this, it's of the flesh and not of the spirit. So here's what you got to do. If you've done these things, stop it. And start doing right. You know, in Bible school, they taught us this. The only way to correct a wrong is to do right. When you come to Christ, you will encounter a change. You will encounter the life-changing power of God, and it will work in you, and things will start to change. How do I know this? When Zacchaeus came to Christ, he stopped being greedy and start being giving. When Peter and Andrew came to Christ, they stopped fishing, and they started fishing for people. Amen? And Nathaniel came to Christ, and all throughout the Bible, when people came to Christ, a change took place in how they lived and what they did and what they said. Now, the power to change comes quickly, but the process of change takes over time. Amen? Just because you come to Christ doesn't mean you're going to stop swearing today. But it means you're going to become more aware of it, and, you know, sometimes God can knock it out immediately. Amen? But other times you got to go through a process, don't you? Notice, but he's not finished, because in 22 he said, but. I love it when God butts in. The fruit of the Spirit, this is what a spiritual person does, this is how a spiritual person looks like, is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That word law actually means limit. There's no limit to how much fruit you can have in your life. You can have an unlimited, abundant crop of spiritual fruit in your life. spiritual fruit is really our attitude of a spiritual person. And if you don't have love, love is the basis. That's why love is first. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Listen, rebellion needs to be corrected. And your flesh is rebellious against God. The body that you live in, the body that I live in, is unregenerate. It requires us to die daily. You know, I think God should just stamp us with a stamp, must die daily. You know, labels that tell you to do things, you know, must die daily. They that are Christ's, if you belong to Christ, notice that's past tense, crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're living in the Spirit, that's your lifestyle. Walking in the Spirit is how you carry it out day by day, one step at a time. If we can live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Amen? Oh, there is a blessing to the spiritual life. When you live a spiritual life, when you develop your spirit, God will bless you. I'm going to get to the blessings, just not yet. Amen? Let's go on to chapter 6. This is what a spiritual man does. And this is what a spiritual man is. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault or a trespass, be sure to point your fingers at him and criticize him. Is that what it says? Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. Uh-oh. A spiritual person restores fallen brethren. A spiritual person doesn't point out the finger and say, ha, 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 you fell. But that's what we do sometimes, doesn't it? We like to point our finger. Do you realize when you point your finger, you got three pointing back at yourself? So the moral of the story is don't point your finger. Amen. If you're spiritual, a spiritual person is like the Good Samaritan who saw someone fallen, didn't even know him. It was a stranger, had no family connection, had no neighborly connection, a total stranger. But because he was a spiritual man, he reached out and did what he could to help that person who was fallen. Too many times in the body of Christ, we want to kick the ones that are fallen. We want to criticize. Look at what they did. Look at what they did. I never followed him. You shouldn't be following him anyway. You should be following Christ. That's where your problem is. Oh, yeah, when ministers fall, so many people, they stop believing in God as if the minister was God. Let me tell you something. I'm not God. Follow me only as I follow Christ. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to save the one addicted to alcohol. He came to save the one addicted to pornography. He came to save the one who was a murderer. He came to save the one who was a critic, who was a gossip. He came to save that which was lost. That's what Jesus did, because Jesus is a spiritual man. Jesus came to repair what was broken. He came to restore what was lost. He came to bring back what was taken. That's how we need to be. Ye which are spiritual. Notice, only the spiritual person will restore a fallen brother. Aren't you glad that there's restoration in the body of Christ? Aren't you glad that when you make a mistake, it can be repaired through the grace of God and the blood of God and the love of God? You're not beyond repair. Jesus said, if you sin, he was writing to Christians. He said, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to not only forgive you, but to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you've made a mistake, you can be cleansed. You can be restored. You can be washed. You can be made clean. You can be made whole, because mistakes hurt. Mistakes bring pain and shame and guilt and condemnation. I know I've made my share of mistakes, and guess what? I'm going to make some more. Because I do not have the Spirit without measure. Amen? Only Jesus had the Spirit without measure. But thank God, if you're fallen, I'm not going to condemn you. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. He said, I came to save the world. What did Jesus do with the woman who was caught in adultery? Now, my question is, number one, where was the man? Doesn't it take two to commit adultery? How come they only brought one? Because it was probably one of the Pharisees. I don't know. That's just my guess. So they brought her. The law said an adulteress should be stoned. But see, Jesus was not under the law because he walks in the Spirit. He lives in the Spirit. So what did he do? He wrote some things in the sand. And then he looked up. He said, you without sin cast the first stone. Everybody's looking at their rock. It's amazing how there wasn't one person without sin in that group. Boom, boom, boom. You hear the rocks drop. And what happened? He gets to the woman and he said, woman, where are your accusers? She looks around. She doesn't see any. And he said, neither do I accuse you. But he said this, go and sin no more. He didn't condemn her, but he restored her. How about Mary Magdalene? Seven devils were cast out of her. Can you imagine what a person is like with seven devils in them? I remember this one story. He's a minister now. His name is Matt Gober. I heard him tell this testimony himself. He said that when he used to go on these binges, and his friends would have to lock him in a barn for 3 days. And one day he was arrested. It took 20 police officers to arrest him because he was a black belt in karate and a green beret. Oh, but I don't know if God can save him. I'll tell you what, God saved him. God touched him. And when he tells his testimony now, tears just fall from his face of the work that God has done. You might see someone fall. And whether or not you're spiritual will determine what you do. Are you going to restore that person? Or are you going to criticize them or kick them when they're down? A spiritual person restores the fallen. So I'll let you make up your mind if you're a spiritual person or not. I'm just giving you the truth about what a spiritual person does and what a spiritual person is. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you having a good day, the first day of 2014? Some of you are probably saying, why did I come here today? Listen, you're in the right place today. We're not going to condemn you. We're going to help you. Amen? We're going to get you connected with God. I want you to be connected with God today. I want you to become more sensitive to His voice and to His Spirit today. Amen? This is what I want out of this. I want you to be able to experience God in greater ways. He can pour some living water into your dry and thirsty soul. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. And let's look at verse 7. Paul is talking about preaching, and he doesn't want people to don't put your faith in the words that I use or how I speak or whether or not I use the correct English or not. There's no power in that. I mean, granted, I do the best that I can to use the correct English, but sometimes I don't say the right thing. Amen? But that's not where your faith should be. Your faith should be in the power of God. Because when the word goes forth, the power of God is present to heal, to deliver, to set free, to fill, to lift up, to change things. There's power present right here today. Just like when Jesus had a meeting and the house was packed out, the Bible said the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But only one out of the them got healed. Because only one out of the them recognized the power that was present. If you don't see that the power is present, it's going to be hard for you to connect, but it takes faith to connect with the power of God. You connect with the power that's present through your faith, through your trust in God. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Can you imagine if Satan knew that he was going to be resurrected, he would have never crucified him. But thank God that Satan didn't know it. There are some things that God keeps to himself until the right time, and then he unveils it. And when Jesus came out of that grave, he knocked Satan out with a 1-2 punch. He knocked his teeth out. He made a show of him openly, and he triumphed over him in it. Hallelujah. For it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Say, God's got some things prepared for me. And I want you to notice it doesn't come through your eyes. It doesn't come through your natural ears. All right? Well, if it doesn't come this way, how am I going to get it? I'm glad you asked. That's a good question. But God has revealed them unto us, how? By His Spirit. And only a spiritual person has the right frequency to get what the Spirit is saying. And you know what? With frequencies, you've got to tune in to the right frequency. There's all kinds of radio stations that play on the radio, but if you want to listen to the one that you like, you've got to tune in to the right frequency. It has a set of numbers that identifies that station. And if you get any other numbers other than that station, you won't get the one that you like. But God reveals what He has prepared for you by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now notice verse 12. If this doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. If you're here today and you've received the Spirit of God, you ought to be excited. I don't think you're too excited. Now come on, you get more excited. I'm sorry that the Eagles lost if you're an Eagles fan. But if the Eagles would have won, how would you Eagles fan reacted? You would have said, uh-huh. Come on now, if the Eagles won, okay, if your favorite team won, how would you act? Now, how come we can show more excitement to a team like that than less excitement to God? Oh, Pastor, why'd you have to go there? Because I have to. I got to mess with you a little bit. You know, kind of like mess your hair up a little bit. We have received the Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. God actually entrusted us to contain His Spirit. And His Spirit can be everywhere, but God chose to put His Spirit in us, like a deposit in us. I tell you what, I'm excited. I got the Spirit of God on the inside of me. I got greatness on the inside of me. He who was in you is greater than he who was in the world. I've got greatness on the inside of me. You've got creative power on the inside of you. You've got the Word of God on the inside of you. See, I'm not ashamed to get excited about Jesus. Why do we have the Spirit? Notice the latter part of that verse. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. A spiritual person is in tune with what God has given them. Now there's people, I've heard different terms. There's about 7,000 promises in the Word of God. And all of God's promises are yes and amen. Maybe you only have 1,000 promises that you know of, but there's 6,000 more to discover. and to have and to walk in. And it's through the spiritual network. See, God established a network where there's no drop calls, where there's no dead spots. Amen. It's called the spiritual network. And the way God communicates to his people is through the spiritual network. And only those who have ears to hear can hear what the Spirit is saying in this moment and in this hour. You know, you always got something. Amen. Now let's go on. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Did you know that that God made it possible that the devil can never pull one over on you? He gave us the spiritual standard. And we can compare any spiritual activity. See, if Joseph Smith would have compared his angelic activity with the Word of God, we might not have a Mormon church. See, because he didn't compare spiritual things with spiritual. See, because God's Word is spirit. Amen? He just went by what the angel said. Now, Paul said, don't matter if an angel preaches another gospel or someone preaches another gospel, you don't believe it. Amen? The Bible tells us to test the spirits, to try the spirits. Aren't you glad that we can test the spirits? We can compare spiritual things with spiritual. This is the spiritual right here. And if it doesn't line up with this, it's not of God. If it's not found in the Bible somewhere, it's not of God. Why do you think God gave us his book? Why do you think he forever established the Word of God in heaven? Why do you think that the Word of God framed the worlds? If God took out his word, this world would fall apart. Hallelujah. God gave us his word. And we can compare spiritual things with spiritual. Now, you may have a spiritual experience. There's all kinds of experiences. I mean, Philip was translated. I haven't been translated, but I'd like to be sometime. Just to go from here to there without just go from boop, you know, beam me up, God. There's all kinds of experiences. Now, you know, Elijah ran faster than chariots. That's pretty fast. I bet he'd got an Olympic medal. Amen? I mean, you run that fast, that's pretty fast. There's what, two or four horses pulling the chariot, and he ran faster than them. Peter walked on water. I haven't walked on water, but I'd like to. Those are things that the Bible tells us that happened. Amen? Joshua walked around the city and the walls fell down. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. You got obstacles in your way. Maybe you just need to walk around them a little bit. And then on the seven times, and then shout and watch what happens to those obstacles. The devil would be like, they're doing it again. You got to compare spiritual things with spiritual. This is the standard. This is the filter. Everything you hear, everything you see, everything you experience, if it doesn't come in here, you need to wash it out with the bathwater. Throw it out with the bathwater. Right? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. Boy, it's taken me a long time to get through this passage here. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. If you're a person that is feeding the natural man, living the natural life, talking natural words, doing natural things, then you're going to miss what the Spirit of God is saying. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. You got to be a spiritual man. Woman, you got to be a spiritual woman to receive the things of God. Amen? For they are foolishness unto him. I can't believe that someone would actually stand up here and preach to get people saved. To me, that's just foolish. Well, that's what the world says, but God says, I use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'm glad I'm a fool for Jesus. Amen? Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And someone who is spiritually dead has a hard time discerning what is right and what is wrong. There are some homosexuals that claim they were born that way. Lie. My Bible says they were created male and female. Even, you know, Fiona, Pastor Fiona pointed this out. Even the animals on the ark went male and female. But what happens? Romans tells us they get turned over to a reprobate mind when they can't tell, they can't discern between right and wrong. So they think wrong is right, they think right is wrong, they can't tell the difference between either one. Because things have to be spiritually discerned. You have to be in tune with the Spirit, you have to walk in the Spirit, you have to live in the Spirit, you have to develop spiritual fruit in order to hear what God is saying to us. So come out of the graves, let's have a resurrection. Come out of spiritual death and come into spiritual life, it's much better. The water's fine, come on in, just jump in. Verse 15, he that is spiritual, what? Judges all things. Well, brother, you were judging me. No, I wasn't. I was judging the behavior. I don't judge people, but I can judge their fruit. When you go to an apple tree, you can tell what kind of tree it is if you don't know what the bark is, right? If there's apples on the tree, you can tell, hey, that's an apple tree. One time, there was this scrawny little bush in between two big pine trees. And this bush kept telling these pine trees, I'm an apple tree. I'm an apple tree. The pine trees looked at that tree and they said, I don't think so. This guy's crazy. What's he talking about? I'm an apple tree. You're a little scrub bush. But that little tree, he kept saying, I'm an apple tree. I'm an apple tree. And the other pine tree said, you're crazy. You don't know what you are. But after some seasons happened, all of a sudden, some fruit started to appear on that little apple tree. Guess what? They were apples. Guess what? The tree doesn't have to convince the pine trees that it's an apple tree. It just has to show the fruit that it produces. You don't have to convince someone that you're a Christian. Your life just has to show a difference. You have to produce some fruit in your life that resembles and reflects Jesus Christ. Because our goal as a Christian is to be conformed to his image and in his likeness, just like you were created. But you got to judge. The spiritual man judges all things. But I love verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct us, but we have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is really the Holy Spirit. Isn't it awesome that we can think God's thoughts? If you have the mind of Christ, can't you think his thoughts? Can't you feel his feelings? Can't you know his plan and his will? If you have God's mind, you can know what he knows. He'll show it to you. But these are some things that a spiritual person does. These are some things that a spiritual person is. Are you getting the picture? You got time for a few more. All right, well, let's go to chapter 3. Paul is talking here to a group of Christians at Corinth. And he said in verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. There were things that Paul wanted to teach them, but their attitude prevented him from teaching them what was on his heart. They were too wrapped up in the natural area of living, the natural life. They had not developed their spirit. When a baby is born, what does a baby drink? And then as teeth come in the baby's mouth, the baby stops drinking milk and he starts eating solid food. Now, some Christians, when you're born again, you get milk. You get the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But some Christians who have been 3, 4, 5 years old are still drinking milk and not eating meat. Uh-oh. What did he say about this? He said, for you are yet carnal. He said, you're not able to bear them now. For whereas there is among you envying. You know, if you envy someone else, you're carnal. That's the opposite of being spiritual. And strife. James tells us where strife comes in, it brings every evil work with it. If you're a person that is prone to argue, you're allowing every other evil work to come into where you are because you're causing strife. Because you're proud because you have to be known as the one who's right. Really, in an argument, is all that matters to you is being right? There's a lot bigger things at stake than you being right or wrong. Because, when we're right, we admit it, but when we're wrong, we certainly don't say anything about it, do we? Because we like being right. But guess what? We're not right all the time. For there is strife and divisions. God's body is not divided into 2 or 3 or 4. It's one. We are one body with one Savior, with one God. Amen? Are you not carnal and walk as men? There's a lot of carnal spouses. Uh-oh, did I say that? God wants to show your family something, but you can't because you're carnal. Because you haven't taken the time to develop spiritually. Do you realize that it's up to us to maintain our spiritual glow? What are you doing to maintain your glow? Do you praise every day? Pray, read the Bible, worship, give, take time out, meditate. Those are things that help us grow spiritually. Verse 4, while one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not yet carnal? Don't be going out and saying, I'm of Doug. Believe me, I'm not the one who died for you and gave my life for you. Jesus did. I'm just a middleman. I'm just a messenger. Amen? God called me to preach his word, and that's what I'm doing with all my heart. Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Listen, God's the one who's responsible. But if you're trying to say that you're of this person or if you're of that person, I got news for you. You're carnal. You're not spiritual. I'm a Jesus person myself. Amen? I aim to follow Jesus. He's my master. He's the good shepherd. He's the one true God. He is the only way to the Father. There is no other way to the Father but through Jesus. By having a vibrant, living relationship with Jesus, you get connected to the Father. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're not connected to the Father. And if you're not connected to the Father, you're spiritually dead. And if you're spiritually dead, you are a prime target for the devil. He will have a heyday with you. When you're spiritually alive, you have weapons to defeat him. He cannot come against you. Paul said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you, save a couple of people, because he didn't want people saying that they were of Paul. This is the apostle that wrote half the Testament. You know, he never, in the epistles, he never talks about, he does talk about how the church was multiplied and how the church increased, but he never really goes into the numbers part. Now, you may like a small church. I like a small church, but I don't expect to stay a small church. I expect to grow. Amen? I expect VCF to grow. I'd like for VCF to plant other churches. Can you imagine? There might be some towns in Pennsylvania that don't have a church like this at all. And they need one. Amen? They need to hear the truth. I believe that God's going to cause us to grow. But it's not just one person. It's going to have to take all of us working together to make it grow. Some of you are going to have to step up to the plate and do something you've never done before. You know, you realize that's how you get the best results? If you keep trying to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, you're crazy. You got to do something different. If you want something you've never had, you've got to do something you've never done. If you want a wife, you're going to have to ask someone out on a date. Amen? If you want something you've never had, you've got to do something you've never done. And it doesn't matter who does the asking. Come on. Oh, only the guy can ask. Who said? You don't ask, you don't receive. Amen? Now, it'd be nice if we could all be like Adam, go to sleep and wake up and there she is. Whoa. You know, Adam woke up, he's rubbing out. Whoa, man. The question I want you to answer today is this. Are you a spiritual person? Do you have a connection with God through Jesus Christ? Are you growing and developing your spiritual life? You know, a doctor, if he's going to operate on you, I would have hoped he went to college to study. If a lawyer is going to work on your case, I hope that he went to school and studied. Now, if you're going to be a Christian, I hope you go to a place that teaches and preaches the word and that you study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As a show of hands, how many have a Bible plan and you plan to read the Bible through this year? Guess what? Some of you need to work on that. My father, who's 75 years old, last year, for the first time in his life, read the Bible through from its entirety, from Genesis to Revelation. He used a one-year Bible. The first time in 75 years of his life. How much more developed would we be spiritually if you've read the Bible through as many times as your age is? Well, some of you didn't get saved till later. That's okay. God can make up the time. Amen? What are you going to do to develop your spirit? We can't just sit there and it's not God's job to develop his spirit. He already did. He perfected it. He doesn't have to develop it. He made it a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What God did was good. God doesn't have to do anything else. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "It is finished." Now he puts the ball in your court. So number one, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, please don't leave here today. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Accept him as your Savior. Be born again, and you'll be in his family. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? Number two, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, amen? That's the power to live the life that God's called us to. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is all about the power. And when the Spirit comes on someone, you know, when you get baptized in the Spirit, you will speak in another language that you've never studied or never learned. And number three, if you need a boost in your spiritual life, if you felt kind of dry, if you felt kind of dead, if you felt kind of undone, then today is your day. You're going to get filled, you're going to get put together, and you're going to find God's hand of blessing. Because there is a blessing to those who develop their spiritual life. It's a side of you. And when you're in Christ, so if you're here today and you're not born again, come up here. If you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost, come up here. And if you just need a touch from God, I want you to come up here. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for moving by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. The gospel is a message of action. And if you don't act, you don't get. It's plain and simple. Faith requires action. So if you want God to touch you, come. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come. If you need to be born again, come in Jesus' name. Don't be ashamed. There is no shame in this house. We are unashamed. The gospel is real. We're not guaranteed a tomorrow. I'm going to give you a moment to respond. Your spiritual life begins when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it gets better and better. It gets better and better. Gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. You're going to see a miracle today. You're going to experience God's power like never before. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, just touch him fresh and new today, Father. Fill him up. Fill him up with living water.